Let's be honest, this time of year, Christmas, is when we occasionally get a little greedy, both for food and consumerism, and it is just 9 sleeps until Christmas, although I've never worked out why we count it in sleep. Seems very weird. If you think about it, the idea of actually Santa in a big red suit, it's not very Australian summer, is it? Let alone the actual fashion choices. Maybe we should have a bit of a look at how other cultures like to celebrate this time of year. Joining me in the studio is Carol Cusack. She's a professor of religious studies from the University of Sydney. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have you. So while we let's stick with Christmas for a moment. How do many other cultures celebrate Christmas? Is there a lot of regional variation?
In Europe in particular, there's special regional variations everywhere. But Santa Claus has become kind of universal, partly because we have increased telecommunications since the 19th century. And because people have marketed things like the imagery of Christmas on cards and those kinds of things. But I was actually in the Netherlands just recently, and on the 5th of December is their special present giving day.
The 5th.
And the Santa Claus figure is called Sinterklaas, that's Saint Nicholas. He's a little bit different to the kind of Santa that we're used to.
How different?
Well, firstly, he has assistants who are called the Zwarte Pieten, the Black Peters. And they're usually now presented as if they're little chimney sweeps. But in the past, they were actually black people from Dutch colonies. So it's a very sensitive, this kind of racism sensitivity going on there. But Sinterklaas also has the capacity to punish naughty children. So not just to give everybody presents, you have to give an account of yourself.
How very judgmental. I love it.
Well, a lot of the European stuff is like that, actually. If you go further across into Central and Eastern Europe, you get, you know, kind of demonic kind of figures like Krampus, who most people would know because there was a film.
The Krampus, yeah.
Who is, you know, a kind of really horrific looking fellow, and he chases children through the villages with bunches of sticks, rods that he's going to beat them with for being naughty. And if they're really naughty, he puts them in his sack and takes them away.
We do love terrifying children, generally, don't we? It's kind of an important part of the year.
Oh, look, I think fairy tales and traditions like that are some of the most amazing fun.
Well, look, let's get away from Christian traditions, because although, you know, I think you can kind of agree that, you know, Christmas itself has got fairly secular, the kind of origins of it are very Christian. What do some other cultures do outside of that kind of Christian context?
Well, this time of year is such an important time. I often point out to students that as early as, you know, the Neolithic era, people knew that the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere was a kind of radical turning point, because up until that shortest day, which is the 21st or the 23rd of December, the dark was growing in power and the days were getting shorter and shorter. But then once you pass the shortest day, the light begins to come back and you know spring is coming and the days grow longer. And that's been something that people have been aware of. They could do calendrical calculation to that kind of thing like 9,000 years ago.
Wow.
So everybody's always in the Northern Hemisphere known that you have to endure the darkest, coldest period. And that's why things like evergreens, Christmas trees that don't perish, that still look amazingly green and vivid, even in the middle of the coldest winter, are such great signs of light. But, of course, other religions have celebrations that take place at this time of year. The most obvious one is Hanukkah for the Jewish community. And, of course, anybody who's a South Park fan will know Stan's lonely song, "I'm a Jew, a lonely Jew at Christmas," you know, talking about the things that his family does for Hanukkah and how they're kind of a bit sucky, really, compared to what everybody else gets to do for Christmas.
Well, it's not even one of the high holidays, is it?
No, it isn't. It's not even from the Torah. It's one of the two big Jewish holidays. The other one is Purim, that isn't from the Torah, so it's kind of later edition. But of course, there are completely secular celebrations that happen now. A lot of people talk about this season, this holiday or festival season, as Festivus. Okay, we're not religious, but we believe in family and friends and present giving and eating together and celebration. And every year needs some marked out periods where you do special things. So we'll just accept that because Christmas is very firmly kind of fitted into the calendar of Western nations, we'll celebrate too. even though we're
not religious. Fair enough. I kind of like the idea, to be perfectly honest. Mm. And I think you mentioned one that was a bit of more of an anarchic look at Christmas.
This is the people who call it consumers and talk a lot about how it's really just about buying an inordinate amount of consumer crap that nobody actually needs, and kind of an orgy of spending money and stuffing yourself, and how it's something in that sense, in a kind of anarchistic political sense, that if you want to opt out of, you know, the system of capitalism and of wage slavery and of constantly spending money on stuff you don't really need or want, that you should kind of resist. And interestingly, there are some Christians who, you know, devout people who approve of the consumerist critique, because they would like to say that for the people who are sincerely religious in a Christian sense, Christmas is not about Santa Claus and presents and all that kind of thing. It's actually about Jesus being born and offering, you know, kind of salvation for human beings. And that's quite a different message, really, from the jolly fat chap in the red suit.
Very, very different message. Look, just quickly to end it off, this time every year, the media start talking about, is there a war on Christmas? Now, to look around, you'd have to be arguing pretty hard that we are not a fairly Christmas-celebrating city, surely.
I was in the Netherlands for a conference, and two of my colleagues from Norway, Ingevild and Lisbeth, had written a piece on the celebration of Christmas in Norway. Christmas, we don't have a war on Christmas in the West. We have a love affair with Christmas. And it's everywhere. Our symbolism, in our imagery, in the presents we buy for people, in beautiful Christmas decorations and trees, and nativity scenes too, you know, there's traditional stuff as well as the more modern.
Well, Carol, thank you for wrapping up our Christmas survival guide for the week. A very illuminating look at around the world, and thank you for your time.
It's a great pleasure, Nick. Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved our Christmas survival week. That was a great one to go out on.